As you find your seats, if you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We will read from there in just a moment. Would you pray with me? Father God, now I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place would be pleasing to you. You are indeed our rock and our redeemer. And so as we turn to your holy word, would your spirit move freely in this place so that you might help us hear what it is that you want us to hear, so that you might help us be who it is that you want us to be, so that you might help us do what it is that you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever sung a song for years only to find out that you had the lyrics wrong all along? I had a friend once who told me that as a child, every Easter, when that famous Easter hymn would come up from the grave, he arose, that she for years pictured Christ plunging out of a bowl of gravy. She heard, up from gravy arose, and had this picture of Jesus swimming up. Mine as a child was the old rugged cross. When the congregation sang, "We're the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain," my whole childhood I heard, "Where the deer stand best." So I had this picture of Calvary with little white-tailed deer all around beholding the crucifixion of Christ. I wondered why the paintings didn't capture it that way. I love the TV show Friends. There's one episode where Phoebe Buffay, who's a little bit on the airheadish side, she claims that the most romantic song ever written was the one that Elton John wrote for that Who's the Boss guy, she said. "Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza." The song is actually "Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer." When this episode came out, it turns out that hundreds of people around the nation said, "Me too. I always thought it was Tony Danza too." Songs are kind of funny like that. Whether we have any idea what we're singing or not, if the tune is catchy enough, we find ourselves just jumping right in and singing along. And I'd venture to guess that most of us just did that very thing. There's this line in "Come Thou Fount" that says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." Ebenezer, what is that? It's not the Scrooge. That's all we know of it, right? "Here I raise my Scrooge." That doesn't make any sense. We just sang together that we're raising it up. Does anybody in here have any of this stuff on you today to raise up? What is this Ebenezer? Where does this line in the song come from? What are we proclaiming when we sing it together? You see, Ebenezer is only mentioned in one section of Scripture, right here in 1 Samuel. Before we read it in just a bit, what's happening right before we get to the scene we're in today? The Old Testament, and we know in the Old Testament that God preferred to show his presence to his people through this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. Within the Ark lay the Ten Commandments. It was this box covered in gold. The Israelites would carry it from place to place. Often the priest would go out in front of the people. It was their assurance that wherever they were going, God was before them and God was with them. If you know anything about the history of the Israelites, you know that they were kind of up and down sort of people in their commitment to God. They had seasons when they were devoted, when they were totally into God's plans and God's ways. And they had seasons, not so much, when they were better at grumbling and worry and indifference and idolatry. And one such season of indifference, the Philistines, Israel's big enemies in the Old Testament, they come and they attack them. And in this attack, they actually capture the Ark, God's presence, and they take it out of Israel. Turns out the Philistines' plan didn't work out all that well for them. The Ark wasn't meant to be in Palestine, and so it began to wreak havoc on the people. They put it in one of their temples, and they found that their God in that temple literally began to crumble. His hands fell off. That's not good if that's your God. The people around them began to get these tumors, and they were falling dead left and right. So the Philistines got together. They said, "This isn't working. Let's send this ark back to Israel. They can have it. Send it back to its rightful place." So after 7 months, you find this God and his people reunited. And that's where this morning story picks up. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. Then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Astartes from among you. Direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So Israel put away the Baals and the Astartes, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. They fasted that day and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard the people of Israel were gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to pray out to the Lord our God for us, and pray that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as beyond Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshanah and named it Ebenezer. For he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The towns the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel, the spiritual leader of Israel, he stands up before the people when their ark has come back to them, and he says, "Listen up. If you are serious about returning to the Lord with all of your heart this time around, if you're serious about it, then here's what you do. Put aside everything that has kept you from being fully his thus far." He says, if you really mean it, if you really mean that you want more of God, that you want to be fully his people, then give your heart back to God. Serve him only, and he will deliver you from your enemies, from your shame, from the past, from your fear. Israel heard this call that day, and on the spot, they turned from all their false gods. They chose together as a people that day to serve the Lord alone. For a moment at least, their hearts were fully in. Samuel gathers the people at Mizpah to confess their sins together, to give their past to God, to trust God with their future. It doesn't take long. The Philistines, they get word of where the people are hanging out. They're all together, and they plan to attack them there, just as they had done successfully just a few years before. But what they didn't know is when they attacked them before, Israel's hearts were divided. This time, they were unified. Israel got word the Palestinians were coming, the Philistines, the same people. They were afraid. They pleaded with Samuel. Then they said, "Samuel, do not cease to cry out to God on our behalf." And so Samuel right there began to make sacrifices to God, and he began to pray for the people, and he prayed, and he prayed. Without ceasing, just like they asked. Sure enough, the Philistines arrived. But this time, they didn't stick around for long. Right when they arrived at Mizpah, the Lord thunders with this mighty voice, and he sends the Philistine army into mass confusion. They all start walking in circles, don't know who they are or where they're going. Israel took advantage of it. They pursue the Philistines, and they defeat them soundly in that place. God's people victorious once again. Samuel stops, and he picks up a stone, and he names this stone Ebenezer, which means stone of help. And he says, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Let us not forget. And it says there was peace in Israel for the rest of Samuel's lives as the people lived together in this right, surrendered relationship with the Lord their God. Philistines, Israelites, Ark of the Covenant, Ebenezer, Mizpah. I don't know about you, but to me it sounds like this kind of story belongs in another time and another place. These are strange words, strange situations. But I'm not so sure that it's all that different from where we often find ourselves today. You see, there comes a time in all of our lives when we, as the people of God, decide to turn our hearts back to God once again. I'm not talking about initial salvation experiences, but I'm talking about the people of God. When we come to our senses and realize that life here on earth as his people has kind of gotten in the way sometimes, and we have for one reason or another gone our own way. That over time our hearts have become more complacent than we like, that God's plans for us as his people to use us for his glory has kind of taken a back seat. When we realize that our devotion to know him more and love him more and be used by him, that it's just kind of dwindled over time. And sometimes it's after months, sometimes it's after years of this kind of stagnancy in our faith that we come to this place where we realize we have been defeated. We are absolutely tired of spinning our wheels, trying to live in this world and that world, and getting nowhere at all. We come to a place where we've seen relationships suffer before us, where we've seen dreams die, where we've seen this once passionate heart inside of us grow cold. And in those moments, everything within us longs to return to God and only to God and to find some way to live again. In that place of longing for return, this morning we hear Samuel's call. If you're serious about returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away everything that's kept you from being fully his. And in those moments when we're eager to return, we immediately start cleaning house. We find those big, black, heavy-duty industrial trash bags, and we start tossing things out. Because we are determined to get it right this time. God is the only one we want now, and we want all of him. We're in. For once, we are in. And I wonder, is that where anyone in this room finds themselves today? Just simply wanting to be in, fully in, with our living God. Have you been in this place recently? At least. The people of God returning wholeheartedly to their God. Hear these words from Samuel. Direct your heart to God. Serve him, and he will deliver you from whatever has taken you from him. Are you in this morning? And if you are, can I just say, don't jump into this renewed pursuit of God alone. Israel, they gathered together with their prophet before them in the community they committed themselves to together to walk this path ahead. Why community, you ask? We talk about it all the time in here. It's kind of like a broken record. I get it. Why? Because at least according to 1 Samuel 7, it won't take long before the enemy finds out where you're camped when you want to turn your heart back to God. And he'll find you there. And try to pull you right back to where you were before. You see, the Israelites were only in Mizpah for a few days before the Philistines headed that way to see what kind of destruction they could bring this time. You see, my friends, this is truth. The second you decide to get serious about living a life devoted to God, the second you actually decide to let go of whatever is keeping you from being fully his, the second you decide, the enemy will come with this last-ditch effort to get you back on his side. It happens. This is why folks get baptized and then disappear from the church weeks later. This is why those who have walked through 12 steps and received their final coin often relapse just a few weeks later, right when they think they're finally out of the woods of addiction. This is why sometimes you come to this altar on Sunday morning and you pray for God to give you the strength you will need to get through this week. And the second your foot hits the parking lot, you get that call that threatens to sink you on the spot. This is why. It's because there's a real God in this world who has all of life to give us. And there's a real enemy in this world who is keen on counteracting God's life for us at every turn with his own dose of death and destruction. And so when your hearts turn toward the God of life, be ready for the enemy to be right behind him. Move in and try to take it back. Be ready. Now, I didn't say be afraid, because the one you're turning toward has already defeated this enemy, and it was a sound defeat. So don't be afraid. But do be aware and do be ready. And when those temptations to settle for less than the life God has for you so quickly sneak in, well, then that's when you really need to lean into the community that God has given you. When Israel gets word that the Philistines are coming, it is right then that they cry out to Samuel. They say, "Don't stop, Samuel. Don't stop praying for us. Don't stop praying that God would see us through. Please, Samuel, please don't stop praying." You see, when you're turning your hearts back to God, that's when we especially need one another. That's when we need the power of community. I ask you this morning, who are the people in your life you can call when you know that the battle is just outside your door? Who are those people you can call at 2 a.m. and you can say, "Pray, please pray, and don't stop praying. Like you've never prayed before, my friend. Please pray, because I'm going somewhere I've never gone with the Lord, and I have a hunch the enemy's not gonna like it. Please pray." You see, we all need some Samuels in our lives. And I ask you this morning, who are yours? You got to have them, or you're never going to go deeper with the Lord. Because every time you take a step forward, the enemy will be there to pull you back. There's power in Samuels. There's power in community. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all called to be Samuels for one another. If you think you're too busy for that, then my friends, you are too busy. We are all called to be those friends who will stand on the front lines with our community of people who will pray without ceasing for folks who are turning back to their God. Who out here among us is up for that? For us. I pray we'd all lift our hands up and say, "Sign me up. I am a Samuel for Belfair Community Church." Finally, when we see what God has done to deliver us, to grow us, to carry out his dreams through us, let us stop for a moment at least and intentionally make a memorial so we won't forget God's goodness the very next time our hearts are tempted to wander from him or to fear where he might take us. You see, when all the Philistines were defeated, there God's people stood victorious. And rather than just move on with life, Samuel slows everybody down for a moment. And he says, "Let's not let this moment pass us by too quickly." He goes out and he finds a stone, and he names that stone Ebenezer, which it says means stone of help. And he says, "From this day on, this stone will remind us all how our God stepped in. It'll remind us of that time when we were totally outnumbered and afraid, and our God came through and he protected us. He says it'll remind us about that time when our hearts were far from God for years, and when our hearts were far from God, how our enemies had free reign over us. And yet, when our hearts were fully with God, it'll remind us how the enemy couldn't even touch us. And lifting up the Ebenezer stone, Samuel says before the people, let us always remember the God who helps us when we let him have all of us. Let us remember so we can see where he wants to take us further still. We don't know what other trials and temptations Israel faced for those remaining years of Samuel's life. Doesn't tell us in chapter 7. But I can guarantee you, knowing these were God's people and knowing how God still works, that there were surely days that the voice of their God seemed much too silent, and that God's presence seemed much too invisible, and those other gods around them became very, very attractive once again. I can guarantee you there were days that their hearts began to wander again, but then out of the corner of their eye, somebody would see that stone named Ebenezer. And they would remember their God had carried them this far, and they weren't about to leave him now just because he was a little bit on the quiet side. I can imagine there were times that they worried about their own protection. The Philistines, the last they had heard from them, they left angry and embarrassed. Surely they were building up their own next wave of soldiers to come back at Israel, and even more so this time. And so we can assume that Israel had days when they were tempted to turn tail and run before their enemy got much too big for them. And as they packed their bags and began starting their journey back to Egypt, perhaps, I can imagine just a few feet away from camp, a child would point at the strange stone and say, Dad, what's that there for? Oh, that's the Ebenezer stone. It reminds us that God has helped us get this far. So if we let him, he will help us go farther still. And the child would look at his packed bag, and his dad would look at his packed bag, and they'd smile and they'd nod, and they'd head back to camp, unpack those bags and settle in, ready for whatever future with God would hold. He'd brought them this far. Surely, if they let him, he would carry them farther. This morning, we get to join the journey. If you pause long enough in this place to give attention to it, I can guarantee you today our God is tugging on hearts in this place, asking us to turn to him with everything you've got once again. Maybe you already did it yesterday. Even better, let's do it again today. This morning, our God is moving through this place, asking us to start a new adventure with him today, one where we love him like we have never loved him before, where we serve him like we have never served him before. My friends, take a moment to stop and breathe and allow yourself to feel the Spirit's tug on your heart. That says, return to your God. Return. Is it there? Is he moving? To acknowledge this tug is surely a risk. Where will God take you this time? What's he asking you to leave behind in the promise, in the process? How long until the enemy gets wind that you and God are having this conversation? And he sneaks in trying to thwart it. What will be the damage in the process? To acknowledge the tug is a risk, but my friends, to ignore it is a tragedy. To ignore it is to refuse to step into the life God has for you. It is to never taste of the victories that he wants you to see, of the power that he wants you to know, of the freedom that he wants you to experience. So what do we do with the tug? How do we move ahead with our God? The best I know this morning is from the pages of Scripture. Let's follow Israel's example and see if it helps us. In your hand, I hope you got a stone this morning. Hold your stone. Squeeze it. Hold on to it. If you don't have a stone, grab something. You can get a stone later. What up a Kleenex? This is your stone. Maybe you want to name it Ebenezer too, or something else that will remind you that God has brought you thus far. With your stone in your hand, take a moment to think about your life. You're like, just a moment. Take a moment to think about a time in your life when you questioned your faith. Maybe a time you even walked away from the faith altogether, or at least almost walked away. Think about that time. And yet, here you are in worship on a day most every other person is living it up outside. Sunshine, Memorial Day weekend in Washington. Here you are. Why? Why did you remain? How did God rescue you in your crisis of faith? Squeeze your Ebenezer stone and give thanks to your God. Thus far, he has brought you. So surely he can bring you further still, even if you've got lots of questions that still remain. Still holding that stone. When's a time in your life that the enemy absolutely tried to take you down? That he tried to keep you from life in whichever way he wanted? Could be depression, could be addiction, could be fear, confusion, shame, failure, abuse, complacency, could be something else. He's got lots of techniques. When's a time the enemy absolutely tried to keep you from life? Hold that stone and think of that. And yet, my friends, here you are this morning with a tug on your heart that says, I want to live. I want to move forward into the full life God has for me. I believe there's still more. I want to love God more and more. How did that happen? How did your God carry you through those dark days when it seemed the enemy had the upper hand, that he was going to take you down? How did that happen? And if God did it for you then, how does that give you hope that maybe God is doing it for you even now? If your days are dark, even still. Lift up that Ebenezer stone, my friends, and proclaim, thus far the Lord has brought me, and so I will let him carry me into life further still. As you hold your Ebenezer, think of the people in your life who have been as a rock to you. Who has God placed in your life to be your prayer warriors? Who are your Samuels? Who are those people who have stayed up for hours to plead to God on your behalf? And how is their love for you? How have their prayers for you carried you thus far? Hold that rock and give some names to it. Who are those people that he's given you along the way? Who are they? And knowing that God put the right people in your path to carry you then, how does that help you trust that he's doing the same now? Who are your people today? Squeeze the Ebenezer and testify. Thus far, the Lord has helped me by giving me a community of love and grace, and so I take a step ahead, trusting that he will help me still. Finally, then, as you hold your Ebenezer, think on what it is in your life today that keeps you from returning to God fully. What is it that keeps you from giving him all of your love, all of your trust, all of your service? Hold your rock and ask yourself, what is it that keeps me from being fully his? And as you hold that rock, remember a time in your life when it really did feel like God had all of you. I hope there's been at least one time like that. Maybe it lasted an hour. But think of that time. And I ask you this morning, do you regret that time in your life? I bet not at all. Because you see, our regrets tend to come from when the times we compromise, when we settle for less than our God desires, when our greatest joys are compromised because we don't let Him have all of us. We don't believe He wants more for us. Our best days have been when we were His and He was ours. And so remembering where we've been and acknowledging what holds us back, let us raise our Ebenezer this morning and say, thus far He has brought us, and so fears aside, I will let Him carry me farther still. Please tell us where we have been so we have courage to take a step in where we are going. Take this rock home with you and put it somewhere where you will stumble into it again and again. Put it somewhere where each time you pack up your bag and try to go back to that place where the enemy keeps you from being fully alive in Christ, you'll catch a glimpse of it, and you'll remember, thus far God has brought me, and so I will trust Him to bring me farther still. One step at a time, with these Ebenezer stones tracing our footprints behind us, we keep on the journey with our God together, going a little farther with God today than we went with Him yesterday. Are you in, my friends? Hold that Ebenezer and hear God's call to have your heart completely today. And just take one step ahead. Just one step, remembering thus far He has brought you. So you've got nothing to fear as He brings you farther and farther still. Would you pray with me? Father God, You have brought us a long ways. All of us in this room have been through seasons of loss, seasons of doubt and turmoil, seasons of stagnancy in our faith, seasons of great compromise, seasons of indifference. And yet this morning in this place, You continue to invite us to turn our hearts back to You, to be fully Yours and to get back on the journey with You, to see what life You have ahead. And God, moving ahead with You can be very scary. We don't know where You're going to take us. We don't know what You're going to want from us. And that's why You've given us our Ebenezer stones. All these things in our life that show us, thus far You've brought us. Thus far You've delivered us. Thus far You have loved us well. Thus far You have been good to us. Thus far You have been kind and patient. Thus far You have given us dreams beyond our own. And whenever we've let You have us, it's been so good. And so trusting that who You've been in the past in our lives is who You will continue to be, we hold our stones tight and we take a step forward with You, back on the journey, our hearts, Your home. Do with us what You will. We trust You because we have already seen that You have been good. Thank You that You will continue to be good as we walk with You. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a chance.